It is the Malcolm Go Podcast on November the 20th, 2019. That was ZZ Top, Tush, and that means it's Dallas Week, baby. We love Dallas Week.
Dallas is going down! Yeah!
My all-time favorite Buffalo fan, rest his soul.
All fired up. This is when the season starts getting good.
Now the season's starting 9-1. People are pissed off. The doubters are coming out of the woodwork, left and right. ESPN's hating. Fox is hating. Doesn't matter. We still go.
Probably they're probably if you do power rankings right now, Pats are probably 26, 27 in the NFL.
Right in the sweet spot.
Yeah,
that's where we need them. This is where they make their run. Nobody believes in a 9-1 team. They're just not good enough.
I would call them 2-1 and 7 games. I wouldn't even really count.
Yeah.
So they're 2-1. So yeah, is 2-1 good?
Well,
who
let's
knows?
Let's see. They've played one good team and they lost to them. So they're really 0-1.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So fuck them. They suck. I mean, honestly, like if you've been watching Brady this year, they should have cut him 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Like everyone
he's
knows
that.
He's
3 years over his due.
Yeah.
He's like bad milk. He's very spoiled.
If I'm Kraft, I'm asking for money back.
Yeah. He wants that Garoppolo trade that he forced Belichick on.
Keeps crying. Oh, my players suck. Oh. Dude, you have a whole second and a half to throw the ball. Figure it out, you idiot.
If you can't throw the ball to a wide open player with less than a quarter of a second, then I don't know why you're on the football field.
So now you want to be an NFL quarterback all of a sudden. You need more than a second to throw the
ball? We are not the ones that asked you to play till you were 70 years old. You're the one doing it.
Yeah.
You're the one that's doing it.
Oh, your left tackle doesn't get out of his stance when the ball is snapped?
Why is it necessary?
That's his fault?
He's taking up space. That's all he needs to do.
Maybe be a little more clear. It's on one, Newhouse, and then you wouldn't have this problem,
that's
Brady.
On hut. Yeah. Not hut, not set, on hut.
Oh, God.
No,
I'm ready to give up on this team.
Yeah, I mean, better now than never. That way it doesn't break your heart in the end.
What are you going to do with a 9-1 team? Maybe best team in football.
I don't know. Power rankings. They drop in the power rankings. Who knows? The power rankings, by the way, are the all-time worst. I don't know if I brought this up before, but I just...
Last week.
Actually. Yeah, I talk about them all the time.
Because they're infuriating.
Because I fall into it with the Bruins, and I fall into it like... that's really where all I ever fall into it on is the Bruins. Because they don't win as much. So, like, the Patriots win all the time. So, if they're, like, one... I'm like, all right, they're always one. It doesn't matter. But if they drop to like two or three, I'm like, what are they talking about? But I was like, they're just stupid rankings. The real rankings that matter is the Super Bowl. But the Bruins, they always are never, you know, they're always a top team, but they're never like number one in the power rankings. And they have been this year. Like, yes, finally getting respect. And then they drop in the power ranks. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? I immediately become power rankings fucking Nazi.
I'm going to go right now and say that Pastrnak is the best offensive player I've ever seen in a Bruins jersey.
Oh, well. I mean, he's probably the best. I don't even know if it's that true. Is he the best pure goal scorer? Maybe.
He has been. Who would be more of a goal scorer?
Pure goal scorer? I mean, there was some studs.
Dude, if one person tells me Esposito's good, I'm going to smack him. That guy stunk.
I can't tell you.
Oh, fucking no. He stood in front of the goal. And, but
he scored a lot.
He scored when the guy had fucking shin pads on.
Cam Neely was a fucking stud.
Who?
Well, Cam Neely.
Get this guy out of here.
Was an absolute stud. I mean...
He can't be better than Pastrnak.
I'm trying to think. I mean, there's really nobody that's that good. I mean,
here's
they've always had they've
Cam
always
Neely
had like
isn't.
They've always had like good 30 goal scores. Cam Neely scored 50 goals in 48 or 44 games. People forget that.
Here's how good Cam Neely isn't. I've never seen a highlight of that idiot.
He was like
Milan. And I watch a lot of Bruins.
He was all right. I grew up with Cam Neely. That was a big deal in my house, was the Boston Bruins. We watched a lot of Bruins hockey. I went to no Celtics games up until Kevin Garnett was on the team. I went to maybe 700 Bruins games before my fifth birthday. I fell asleep in those wood Boston Garden seats more times than I can remember.
To me, Cam Neely is the Antoine Walker of the Bruins.
No, never. He was so good. He was just hurt all the time.
So wasn't fucking Antoine.
Dude,
was
he went to the Hall of Fame and he played like 4 full seasons.
They're keeping Antoine
he
out.
Scored. He was.
I would argue.
Listen, he was bigger than Milan Lucic. He was faster than Milan Lucic. He fought better than Milan Lucic, and he scored like Pastrnak.
Get this guy out of here,
dude! It was true.
Why
watch it.
Well, I've never seen anything about him.
Watch.
All you see is Bobby Orr highlights. Bobby Orr, Ray
Bobby
Bork,
Orr.
All these
watch,
fucking guys.
Dude, when they had fucking Adam Oates, Ray Bork, and Cam Neely, they were like the best team in the world. They could have beat fucking Olympic teams.
They stink.
Dude, when Cam Neely was healthy, he was dominant. I tell you, he scored 50 goals in 44 games, and What was he doing with the other 92 games? He got hurt. He was gone. He kept getting hurt.
Soft. I would say.
He always was hurt.
Yeah. Sure he is. Yeah. He's like Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, is he great? But he couldn't play in the playoffs all the time. Yeah, well, bum.
He actually, I think he, I don't know what happened.
He actually probably is Aaron Rodgers. Very similar.
Maybe. They're similar. It would be like if Wayne Gretzky won 4 straight Stanley Cups, right? In Edmonton.
Yeah.
And I don't think he ever won again, though. Did he win with the Rangers? No, he didn't win with the Rangers. He's way after.
No, the Rangers haven't won a cup in
94, but I thought Gretzky was on that team, but I think Gretzky was way later than that. Anyway, the New England Patriots, I wasn't really nervous. I mean, I think we both picked like a 10-point win going in there.
I picked high.
I think we had 27-17 or something like that.
I was like 26-9, I said no touchdowns.
Which they still, to me, didn't score a touchdown.
That's what Belichick said after the game. How much you love...
How do you take that away?
How competitive is Belichick?
Yeah. And
where he goes, I don't know if you guys saw Lane Johnson today, but we had fun today.
He didn't say that. He didn't say Lane Johnson by name.
He didn't say his name, but we all, that's what he was basically saying. Like, he threw a little under dig at him.
He did. He's the only one allowed to do it. He'll fight for the team.
100% all the time.
Especially after a win. He did that, the classic one to Freddie Mitchell after they won the Super Bowl. He was like, he's terrible. He's the worst wide receiver in the league. We were happy when he was in there. And then he did the same thing to Anthony Smith. He's like, we played a lot better safeties than him. Which depressed me because fun fact, Malcolm Go podcast, Anthony Smith was my economics 101 project partner at Syracuse University.
You don't say.
That's facts.
You had some weird classmates at
a lot of weird classmates. Currently, Syracuse is up in arms over some racism that's happening. I don't know if that's hit your neck of the woods.
I've heard about it.
Did I bring it up last week?
From you.
It hasn't stopped. Like this, like every single day I follow up and there's just like a new fucking white supremacist thing happening up there. Somebody, which I didn't even know you could do this, but like apparently, so there's a library on campus called Bird Library, which I've been to maybe once or twice. But apparently people go there to study. And I guess somebody airdropped, which is a thing you could do to like everybody.
Yeah.
I've never heard of such a thing. So I don't know how you can do it without, I guess, I've only done it like to my wife. So I don't even know if it works.
Yeah. If but, you have like, the airdrop you can, open, you have it open to everyone or your contact. So like if it's open to everyone, it's actually a way people
hit on people
at the bar.
But you can't tell who it comes from?
No, but you know they're in the area. Okay. So like sometimes someone will like, if you're at the bar, like someone will airdrop a message to like some
to everyone. How does he know who he's doing it to?
I don't really know exactly how it works because I don't do this either.
Yeah. So anyway, he or she, I'm assuming white male, airdropped a white supremacist manifesto to everybody in the library. And if I know anything about the library, it's typically filled with Asians and African-American youths that are out there working. And
this is what I would say is the problem with modern medicine.
From when I was there.
Is like these people probably would have died at some point. Like we need more people dead, I think. I think we have too many people.
I was thinking that today myself.
Like this guy, like dropping airdrop manifestos of what? Like he probably had some sort of disease when he was like 4 and somehow we saved him and now he's back. It's like that guy probably should have just
went. Yeah, like something, he had a birth defect and they were like, we can fix this in the womb, in utero.
Yeah.
And then now he's born and now he's doing shit like this. I was thinking, because I was looking at a thing today, I was watching a commercial before you got here about how Exxon's starting to come up with algae as like a alternative fuel for like trucks and things. And I was like, oh, and they were like, we'll just reduce emissions by 50% in 50 years. I was like, oh, cool. But then there's going to be 10 billion more people and 10 billion more cars. I was like, maybe we should just do what China did and just only, you can only have one kid. And if it's a girl, we throw it off the off a mountain.
No, I don't. We're not a political podcast here.
No, but let's face it.
I mean, I can get into this real quick.
There's plenty of space in the center of the in the United States. Send everybody over there. Fill the area.
Cars are not a problem.
Everybody's just emissions. I don't want to talk about emissions. Just leave me alone.
You just brought emissions up for some reason.
Well, because it was on, and I was just like, well, maybe we should just worry about population control. I want to drive my car. The people are just going to keep coming.
So if
we're living longer.
If you run a two-stroke lawnmower,
yeah,
I think we all know what two-stroke is. half gas, half that's oil.
How I, usually how I have sex.
So if you drive that for 1 hour, that's the equivalent of driving your car from L.A. to Denver.
Willing to doubt this.
That's how bad a two-stroke engine is compared to how good car engines are.
Yeah.
And then also it's like every single time.
Where did you find that fact, by the way, that you just fucking completely spewed out as fact?
You want to know another fact I've been telling people for a long time?
What?
That Kaepernick made $500 million in his settlement with the NFL.
You just made that up? I'm pretty sure it's undisclosed, but I think it was like $8
million. No, it was $10 million. Okay. And he had to split with Eric Reed or whatever. And he had to split with his, you know, lawyers and whoever else.
He probably made like $350,000.
So I was off by roughly $497 million.
I don't think he would be trying to play. He would just be living in a mansion in a castle in the sky.
I mean, you get $3 million, you probably don't really need to play either. And, like, how much you got from that Nike deal? With yeah. The shoes?
What? I think everybody's being taken for the, taking on a proverbial lap around the old woodshed here. I think that he does not want to play at all. I think it was such a classic. I tweeted it out, too. It was, got a lot of action about how it was like a classic, the scene from The Office, the Michael Scott, when he got all his negotiation tactics from Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah.
When Daryl was asking for a raise, and it was like, number six, rule number six, change the location of the meeting at the last second. This is exactly what Kaepernick did. Literally at the last second, change the location of the workout. Actually, we're going to go over to this high school instead.
Yeah, well, so, yeah. He had to sign off on like all these weird non-disclosures. He was also pissed because what NFL scout is not at a Division I game on a Saturday?
Well, there's the millions of scouts for every team. So they have like pro scouts, they have college scouts, and they have area scouts. Like, you know, like every scout has like a fucking three scouts working under them in like locations, you know what I mean? So it's like a director of pro scouting, director of college scouting. At least that's how the Patriots do it anyway. And then they have like scouts for like the southeast, scouts for the northwest, scouts for all that. All
right. So, like, what scout are they sending to see Kaepernick?
I'm the janitor.
A fifth level.
Literally the janitor.
Nonsense. Yeah. Exactly. So that's why he was probably like, well, this is bullshit. He must know how it works. Yeah. So he must be like, this is bullshit.
But then they were filming him and supposed to send it to everybody.
Well, also, what he really should be saying, because the NFL only cares about money. Why doesn't he just explain to him how much money he's going to make off the next jersey?
Yeah.
He wears. That's going to be like the fifth highest selling jersey in the league.
He still sells like 49ers jersey. I think he's still like a top 20 jersey.
And if he ever played for a new team, they would have like play for a team with a cool jersey. Like if
some people
the Falcons.
Some people would just buy him to burn him. I would think that half his jersey sales would be lumber in opposing cities.
Kindling.
Yeah, kindling and opposing cities' tailgates.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you come here on Thanksgiving, that's what we're burning. God damn it.
Speaking of Thanksgiving.
Stand for that goddamn fucking
we stand for the flag in this country. A lot of people died.
This is America.
Anyway, I was that was a great impression of KP, our Southern lawyer. So I had a sweet deal you saw I was wearing today. My wife's uncle's 1969-1970 Letterman sweater. I'll be rocking that to Thanksgiving this year. Take my best gal out to make out point.
We're actually rolling in on the last game ever to be played at Stackpole Field.
At Stackpole Field.
Maybe last Thanksgiving Day game.
It's going to be the last Thanksgiving game. Yes, that's correct. It's the stuff legends are made of. Anything can happen on Turkey Day.
Anything.
Saga Sachems. I got Saga Sachems. Well, we'll make our predictions next week. But they're hot right now. Beat Gloucester last week in a pounding.
Oh, that's
literally
big.
Stepped on their throats.
Yeah, the problem.
And nobody
saw it
coming.
We're actually just getting to the point where the Gloucester kids being born now are born with their. Like, mothers were heroin addicts while they were born.
Exactly.
So
they were the pregnancy pack kids. Yeah. So their moms are now turning 27.
Yeah. And they're all falling off the... Yeah, exactly. Their moms are 27, and they're 15, 16, and their bones are breaking on hits. They have holes in their
fucking...
not
strong enough. Didn't get enough milk. Their moms weren't developed enough.
No.
They were having sex with the homeless. So now they're all ruined.
And they're all heroin addicts up there, so...
They love it.
That's a fact.
Big AIDS town. Big HIV town.
One of the biggest.
Yeah, they love it. Everyone coming in off the docks. So many stories that I've worked with people from fishermen towns like Gloucester and New Bedford and stuff of how like they would go out on ships. Literally, this guy, he was a laborer, and I was, I don't know, 14, 15, and I just worked for my father out in the field on, in the summers in between, you know, high school years. And they're like, clearly I was not old enough to be there. And I was just, I would work with grown men, and they would treat me like other grown men laborers. And I, you know, that's fine with me. I wasn't offended or anything. But like this guy would get to telling stories like, well, yeah, I used to be a tuna fisherman, and we'd go out for 3-4 months at a time, make a lot of money, probably like 30, 40 grand if we pulled in enough tuna. And I was like, ah, oh, this is a fucking boring story. And he's like, then the minute we get on the dock, 9 out of 10 of us would just get off on into the parking lot, and there would just be hookers and heroin addicts sitting there. And then we'd be back 3 days later, penniless. They spend it all on heroin and hookers in 3 days.
You ever read The Perfect Storm, the book? The entire book is all about how the movie, first of all, that movie, it's a great movie.
Can't say I've ever seen it. I think I've watched minutes of it. I was like, this is stupid.
No, it's a great movie.
I don't like North Shore fake accents. And I didn't see anybody eat a roast beef. Not one.
Well, I don't know. How accurate could it be? There?
Gloucester, you think that's where it ends?
I think that's
It might be where it ends. That might be where it is Cape Ann. I guess that's true.
So you draw the line. I wouldn't eat a beef past Beverly. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, Beverly is like right. That's a big
Great
roast beef place.
Yeah, great beef.
It's one of the most famous. Is Nick's roast beef in Beverly.
Fantastic.
Listen,
beef.
I've had it. I'm not putting it. It doesn't blow my socks off. We should turn this into it. We're gonna change gears and stop being a Patriots podcast and just be a North Shore roast beef podcast. For a minute here, Nick's roast beef is good. The Mike's roast beef in Saugus and Mike's roast beef in Everett is just, they're both awesome.
Well, Mike's is not the same, but they're both named Mike's.
Well,
Mike's roast beef in Saugus was better 3 years ago, 5 years ago.
That's what everyone always says about everything. It was better before. You'll never be as good as you were in 2015.
No, Mike's roast beef, they used to have a Greek salad.
Salads from the roast beef place?
Oh, the kebab salad from Mike's roast beef was the best salad I've ever eaten in my life.
I love a kebab salad with feta and onion.
Oh, delicious. Oh, and the green peppers.
Yeah, literally there must be a Greek school. Like, you just go, I don't know if you're, mostly you're usually from Greece, but like, instead of high school, they go to sub shop school, and they all get the same recipes, and everything is just handed to you, and you just do sub store ownership 101, and you do it for 4 years. And, you know, year one is your kebab salad year. Year two, you get into the cold subs. Year three, you're making calzones. Year four, you're into the hot subs. And you're figuring out how to make a steak bomb. And then you're into roast beefs. And then it just gets wild from there. The possibilities are endless.
Gary Gilman has a video. He goes, 800 years ago, you guys came up with the Pythagorean theorem.
Yeah.
And since then, you've had the salad and the yogurt. Sure, you perfected both of those, but there's nothing in between.
I swear to God, I can go to a place in fucking Salem. I'll order a kebab salad, not open it, then go to a place in Chelsea, order a kebab salad, risk a stabbing if I go to Chelsea. But I can come home, mix them up. You wouldn't know which one was which. Which, same exact thing. And then... But the roast beefs are very same, similar everywhere.
The crucial...
As long as you go with a three-way, you have to get a three-way. That's North Shore staple. If you don't get roast beef three-way, you're just like... I don't even know what you're buying it for.
Sauce, cheese...
Mayonnaise. I'm embarrassed that you had to ask that question.
Well, because I throw pickles and hot sauce on it, too. You throw a pickle on a beef, it's the best.
Sets it off.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
No, I'm a classic guy on a roast beef.
I always throw a pickle on a goddamn beef. Live a little, goddamn.
You know what's funny? When I go to like a deli and I see roast beef, I'm like, that looks terrible. And then the minute I go to a roast beef place, I'm like, I can't wait to have that roast beef.
I got roast beef yesterday. I got roast beef and I got peppered turkey. And I was like, I'm just going to eat this in the car on the way home. That's the only reason I bought it. Like, I wasn't going to buy anything.
In the deli wrapper?
Yeah. So I'm eating the turkey. I'm fucking mowing it. And I go to pull out the roast beef. It was red. Like, I couldn't even eat it.
I ate the red
one piece. It was so chewy. It wasn't cooked. I was like, you guys fucking just missed out. Like,
there was a place. Jay Pacci's local Italian butcher shop around here used to have an Italian roast beef that was marinated. It was like fucking $14 a pound. I used to go and get it like as a treat for myself, and I would just sit there. I just look at it. It was so good. It was fucking. It was pink, and then you would just look. It would just melt in your mouth. Oh, mamma mia, to melt in your mouth, the gumbo goo. And then you'd have a little gumbo goo and a mortadel. Yourself.
It's so tough. You can't even eat it. You can't even chew it.
Oh my god, it was so good. But anyway, I wanted to get into the Saugus Roast Beef Shop. Which are these places, they always go for tax evasion and stuff, because they're all cash businesses usually. So there's one here. I won't say the name because it's liable to get shot at. But anyway, it's a famous place, and they went for tax evasion, and then the guy, the owner's like in jail, and then like literally 4 days later, they had a car drive through the front door, like complete insurance scam. Like, this place is, if you saw it, it's in a...
Why don't I know it?
You know it. It's next to Applebee's on Route 1.
Oh, yeah. I just went there just now to get a slice of pizza.
Just right now? Is it fixed?
They say we stopped doing slices at 4, and I said, you need to change your goddamn policy.
Well, then I'll take the whole pizza. You cut it up into slices. Yeah. You put that thing right in there.
Goddamn.
So anyway, was the glass fixed?
That's actually no. It said open on the glass.
Yeah,
so that was anyway. Not. It was cardboard. But
yeah. So it was. I was like, this is so obviously a scam because it's in the middle of a strip mall. There would have to be one space open right in front of it. Like the cars parked there all the time, so there would have had to be a spot open, and a guy would have had to like take a left. It's one lane. There's no way to get there. It's in between two sets of cars.
That's weird because I was just there and yeah. That didn't dawn on me. I was like,
how did somebody hit this hot fucking store?
Well, I didn't know someone hit it.
It was set up completely.
In my head, I was thinking, like, why are they doing this much construction on this shitty, stupid fucking building?
But anyway, my main point was they have a roast beef three-way calzone.
Ooh.
That you get. And they put little dipping sauce on the side. And a North Shore roast beef, as everyone knows, the barbecue sauce is James River. Barbecue sauce. So they give you four little cups of James River sauce, even though it's already slathered on there. And those are the little dipping sauces for your
How
zone.
Good is it?
It's out of this world. It's like nothing you've ever had in your whole life. I didn't even know it existed till like a month ago. It's literally, if there were levels of professionalism and North Shore skill, that is elite. That is professional North Shore eating. I've never been to a level like that. Okay. And that has been North Shore Roast Beef's at the Malcolm Go podcast for the week.
I don't know how we got started on that, but...
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. Oh, Gloucester being shitty at fucking life.
Yeah, not having... And then all of a sudden, they stop with the roast beefs and they become the fish town.
So, next week is going to be... We're going to dedicate the entire podcast to the Sachems Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, so if you're interested in the Sachems, we're going to do a scouting report. We're going to break down both teams. Saugus Peabody. It's going to be a 110-year-old rivalry at this point.
With a 3-year lapse.
Yeah. Maybe it's about 100. It's got to be about 100. We were in, when I was in 2003, I think we were in like the 70th year. So how long ago is that?
A long time ago.
It's almost 20 years.
Can't do that math.
Nah, fuck it. 2019 minus 2003. I don't know. Maybe it's about, it's got to be 200 years now.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm one of the, there's probably about 20 of us who've ever held that trophy.
I've never even seen it. I didn't even know it existed.
No one knew.
No. So anyway, the Patriots, they beat Philadelphia. I was proud of them. We both thought they were going to win. I didn't really think it was going to be in doubt. Wentz didn't look very good. He was, to be fair, he was without his top running back, his top receiver.
Top two running backs.
No.
Sproles and Howard.
Well, Sproles got hurt. Yeah, right. But he's up for the year.
Yeah, but that week.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Howard got knocked out.
Yeah, but they still had Miles Sanders is good. And they completely erased him from the game plan. I think that was like the main plan was like just shut down the bum receivers that they had.
Did Alshon Jeffery didn't play?
No, he was hurt. And then shut down Miles Sanders. And like Wentz didn't have anywhere to go. They let Ertz like run in the zone, and he was the only one that was beating them. But it was kind
of
weird.
A lot of zone.
Yeah, they did do a lot of zone. So what they did was played zone, and then like they manned up the bum receivers on like the first three. Three downs or the first two downs, and then Gilmore would go over the Ertz on like third and fourth down and completely shut him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Ertz could not run with Gilmore. And then Gilmore talked a little shit after the game. I loved it. You see him?
I've never heard him talk.
Yeah. He does not a talker, but he talked a little heat after the game. He said, what'd he say? He was just like, oh yeah, he's so slow. Like it was like, and he cries for calls, but you see that on film. But he's a good receiver, good tight end though. But yeah, I just had
that is shit talking for him.
Yeah, he was just like, I had to slow down. He was like, you know, which made sense. I mean, he was pretty good, but I mean, that was really the only play they had. I mean, the defense, they came roaring back. I mean, like I said, I think they only gave up 3 points. I don't know how you take that Jonathan Jones interception away.
That was crazy down.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to just take it away. Like John, they went to the ground. And then John Jones came up with it like it was in his arms the whole time. I get it. I get that it looks like a touchdown. But again, it's another Troy Vincent thing. Like, if that was not Troy Vincent running the fucking rules department like he did in the Super Bowl, I'm telling you, that thing's coming back 9 out of 10 times.
I don't know
if it's
Troy
not at Philadelphia.
Is.
So he's the guy who was on the Eagles for a million years, like throughout the early 2000s, I think the late 90s and stuff. And then now he's like the head of whatever, the NFL, like, rule committee or whatever. So he was like the guy that, like, he was like the guy that, like, had the final say in suspending Tom Brady. And then, like, he was like the head of the rules in the Super Bowl versus the Eagles, where there was like 3 weird plays, like 3 non-catches in that game that they didn't turn back. The Eagles had, you know, and it was just like a Troy Vincent issue.
Like, can we just get rid of the fact that they're not going to overturn a pass interference call?
Never.
I mean, that Deshaun Watson to
right.
that ball, like,
the Hopkins
that was,
one.
That was the most obvious, like, this is why the rule's in place. Like, all right, we threw a ball to the end zone. He tackled him right before he was about to catch it. And he could have caught it if he just extended his arms. But his arms are held down. But no, we're not going to.
I don't think they're ever, like, people are going to stop doing it. I think it's literally made for season-ending plays. You know what I mean? Like, if this is a Super Bowl, I don't even know if they do it then. But, like, to get to the Super Bowl, like, because you could never make a fucking call like that in the end of the Super Bowl. Be like, now it's pass interference. Like, you could never do that. So, like, I think the fear was always going to be, like, okay, now we're just, everybody's going to throw a Hail Mary at the end of the game and then throw the challenge flag for pass interference. Like, I think everybody always thought that. So, like, but now that, I don't, they didn't have, but they haven't reversed any, right? But they haven't reversed any, have they?
No, none. They're, like, 0 for 15.
Yeah.
But the problem was early in the
I don't think they're ever going to do it.
Early in the year, it was like, it would be like a tic-tac where you'd be like, oh, like, you know, whoever you were with would be like, that's fucking pass interference.
Throw the flag.
The fuck is that? And you're like, all right, maybe, but
they're
maybe
never gonna,
not. They're not going to turn over those, but like,
they're not going to, like, missed calls. Like, that. I agree that Hopkins one was like,
that was the first
that
one all
been.
Year.
That should have been.
Like, come on. Like, they
reversed.
Need to do that. Like,
but I literally think they're waiting for, like, a Saints type thing.
But you know, you don't, you, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to be reversing calls every day, every game, for everything. You know what I mean? Like, okay, that wasn't a false start. That wasn't holding. That wasn't
but
neutral
I'm
zone
fine
infraction.
With that. Like, I'm fine with how they've been doing it all year.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it being like, they're probably not going to change any of these. But that was the first one I saw where I was like, I mean, that's a.
Yeah, I think everybody
100
was.
Out of 100.
Like, I would have loved if the fucking Patriots challenged the fucking. The first play of the game when fucking Wentz just hurled it up and like the old Flacco ball and they called pass interference on Jason McCourty. I was like, come on. How are you going to call that right there? It was like barely touched him.
Yeah.
And that's when they went in for the touchdown. And it was maybe they went, yeah, they fucked him, whatever. So like they went down and scored right away, first play of the game.
They went up 3-0.
It was like a 50-yard fucking bomb and all he got was a penalty out of his bullshit. Dude, if they shut that down right there, it would have been, they could have shut him out. You know what I mean? They're fucking,
pretty
the defense
much,
is lit the whole time.
The defense is, god damn it, like,
nobody's respecting it. Everyone's just seeing that fucking Ravens game. Meanwhile, they just curb stomped the fucking Cincinnati Bengals by 70.
And I honestly think if you, that, I still go back to that, like, that Edelman play.
Yeah.
He doesn't fumble the ball. They don't score that touchdown.
I agree.
They might win that game and might not let.
Dude, all the momentum would have been on their side. The whole momentum was on their side.
And they would have to call a different game. They wouldn't just be able to run the ball down the field to run the clock.
They would have had to throw it past 5 yards.
Yeah.
It would have been fucking toast.
And then they couldn't run play action after. It's so.
Belichick, all he needed to do was play that game once. Maybe you lose it. You lose it, whatever. 5 out of 10 times.
You really do know. Like,
he didn't know.
Like,
he's just like, this is easy to win now.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as like when you saw the Wildcat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I was at that game and I was like, the Miami Dolphins were. What, 0-16 the year before, and they were like 0-2 coming to Foxborough versus like, if I'm remembering it right, I think it might have been Matt Castle. Or maybe it have been just, I think it was the Castle team. Maybe it was 09. I don't remember what team it was, but maybe it was 09. It was 09, 08, one of those years. And I'm sitting in the seats, and Ronnie Brown's like doing this. I'm like, why are they snapping to the running back every time? And then, like, you know, I'm just watching it, and I'm like, why can't they stop this? This team is terrible. And then all of a sudden, it's just touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. And then that was it. Never worked again. Like, it worked against other teams, but it never worked against the Patriots ever again. Literally, if it comes up, like, if teams still do it, some dumb teams still will throw a wildcat in there, and, like, you'd be like, why are they doing that? It never worked.
Now they do with, like, quarterback types is what they fucking call
exactly. So, like, basically, Lamar Jackson runs the wildcat, like, it's a triple option.
Yeah.
And so they'll figure it out. Like, they just needed to see it at full speed.
They need to just, maybe you switch to the 4-3 or whatever.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. Stop playing the line.
Deal what you have to deal with and accept other things and be like, all right, fine. Like, you know, you're not going to be able to do this anymore, but if you want to try and throw combo routes against us, like, that might start working, but can you do that? So we'll find out.
No,
so
you
that's
can't.
What they're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, it's just going to be like it was a one-time thing. They play in Baltimore. They play in New England in the playoffs. It's going to be Patriots by 10. Minimum.
Yeah. Well, because, all right, so we have six games left. We have, to end the year, we have Miami,
in Buffalo
in
Cincinnati. That stinks. You really want a tune-up game before you get, I guess Buffalo's good.
You don't really need that much of a tune-up game. You'll be fine going into the...
Think about that. They're going to go... So they got Houston. They got Dallas, Houston, Kansas City Chiefs. That's three games. Those are your hard games. And then you go Cincinnati at home, Buffalo at home, Miami at home. I think that's the way it goes. But anyway, you're talking about three
not
good teams, not great teams.
Yeah, Miami.
Two terrible teams, one... Halfway good team, and then a bye.
Yeah, so they're
you basically walk to the divisional fucking playoff.
But again, they're not going to leave Foxborough from like December 15th
till January
till February.
They might not have to leave in the Super Bowl. Yeah,
until they go play the Super Bowl, they're going to be home for like two months potentially. Like they are going to be well rested. They're going to be fired. They're primed right now. They are absolutely primed.
All they really have to do, I mean, they have to beat out, and even Baltimore's not far to go, but like they have to go to, like that's all they have to do is beat out Baltimore, really. I mean, the Chiefs have four losses. Who's left? Buffalo's got three losses, and the Ravens have two, right?
So who's what are the other teams?
The Colts, I think, lead their division with four losses.
Yeah, and Houston and the Colts probably have to play each other again.
Yeah.
Like, that's... No, I'm not worried about
it. Houston and the Colts, I think, each have four losses. Kansas City's got four losses. They're
all
6-4, and Baltimore's got two. But they got the tiebreaker, so we can't lose unless Baltimore loses one more game.
They're going to lose another game.
I hope so. I mean, they're hot right now, but are they peaking too early, folks? We'll take your calls. let's see. So, anyway, back to the Philadelphia. I mean... the defense is just, I mean, I think they're locked in again. I mean, Philadelphia, I still respect them because they're in first place and they're a playoff team, but they did just get their dick handed to them in Dallas. But they beat Buffalo on the road, which is a good win in Buffalo. They beat the Bears, which is a good defense, a couple of weeks ago. I mean, they're not terrible. I'm not all that impressed with fucking Wentz, to be honest with you. He's just not running enough, maybe since his ACL injury. I don't know, but
I don't think. Yeah, I mean, you take the Eagles are fine. I never thought they were going to lose that game though.
The thing about it was
not
like,
a bad team, but like you're talking about, they're just a regular team.
The atmosphere is what gets you.
There's three teams that can like beat the Patriots every year. That's it. Like really, beat them when it matters. Like,
the atmosphere is the issue with me. So I look to, like, you knew that it was going to be an electric atmosphere, like everyone showing like the fucking the Patriots, you know, basically the Super Bowl. They were just going to be Super Bowl brag mode, which is fine. They earned it. And, you know, I thought it was going to be loud and raucous, and it was. And the Patriots went out there and won. That's why I love it.
And they took a 10-point lead too. They were up early, but
yeah,
I don't know. The offense still is just it's. I don't think it's anything but the offensive line
that's hurting them.
It is. So you're talking...
It's a lot. I mean,
out of the eight run blockers last year, we lost four of them this year.
Yeah.
So we lost
and
Gronk,
now one of
them's
a Lakers girl.
Gronk, Devlin, Andrews, and fucking whoever you want to call
it. Trent Brown.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that is fucking killing them
right
now. It's
a lot. The fullback, I think, hurts more than less than people know. I mean, it hurts more than people understand.
And Andrews and Gronk. Like, the three of those guys are fucking killing us.
I can't imagine Andrews isn't healthy right now. He had a blood clot in his lung. Listen, I'm no doctor. But a blood clot in your lung, what is that? A surgery? I don't know. What's that? What's that? What is it?
I don't really know. Yeah. I have a black spot in my lung I just haven't been telling people about. I'm fine. I'm still podcasting.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, he's got to be better by now.
I think
it's like
one
2 months.
Things where, like, you can only bring so many guys back. So they're like, can we bring him back? We don't really know what the deal with him. Like,
I see him on Instagram. He's hunting and shit. He must be fine.
He's hunting? I thought he was with the team.
Yeah, he goes to the games. He's in practice. He jerks off and fucking goes and shoots ducks.
I don't know what
he's a country boy. Anyway.
He had blood spot. Yeah, what an idiot.
You tell me. I know what a blood clot is. I
think they heal themselves because I feel like I've had all these things.
People tell me when you get a bloody nose, a blood clot's good. So I don't know. Who am I to tell?
I don't know. I've been to a doctor since
88.
Bush was in office. Yeah. That's a fact.
Yeah, that's what's killing them is the absolute inability of left tackle, which is finally over, as far as we hope.
I know what the
Newhouse outhouse fucking can't block. He literally just stands there. There was a video of him, and they're like, if you want to find out why Tom Brady's upset, maybe take a look at this. And it was Newhouse, and the outside, you know, they run that nine technique in Philadelphia, where they're like way outside, and they call it the wide nine. They're like basically another player outside the tackle. So they would be like on the outside of the tight end's outside shoulder. But if there is no tight end, they're still there. So like the tackle has to like go out like 2 yards to figure it out, like to get to him. And this guy just ran by Newhouse. Like he wasn't like Newhouse didn't even extend his arms. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I was like, that's not even the game. What game is he playing? That's not even the right sport.
I'm trying to think, why didn't they move Cannon to left tackle and make him play
right? He stinks at left tackle. You don't remember?
He wasn't good, but is he worse than Newhouse?
He was really bad.
Who has been worse than Newhouse?
He hasn't been good at right tackle this year.
No, he hasn't. He's been bad.
Yeah. The whole offensive line, and it's probably Andrews, honestly, because the center is the captain of the offensive line. Yeah. He tells everybody what to do, gives everybody the blocking scheme. Brady comes up, tells everybody where the mic is, and Andrews goes off of that. And, like, Karras maybe doesn't know it as well. So the whole fucking offensive line's thrown for a whack.
There was that snap at you for a while.
Yeah, he was lobbing them.
Yeah.
Imagine not being able to. Literally, I was a center. At 195 pounds, I could shotgun a snap like a fucking bullet. I was like Joe Cardona back there. Pew, pew, right in the chest every time. Sack, sack.
Sure, I couldn't block anyone, but the snaps are fantastic.
Yeah.
So I don't know. A lot of it's the line. The line is really not letting them do anything. You're getting heat from people giving Sony heat. They're like, oh, yeah. Sony, blah, blah. And then I heard this one like, oh, but Rex Burkhead is having a good year, and they threw out his numbers.
Nobody
like 20 rushes for like 100 and something. Yards. Like, oh, yeah, he's fucking 4 yards a game. Like, this guy's played 3 games.
It's the same thing as what they did last year when – I mean, they did it last year when it was Sony as well, but it's even worse now because they don't have the blockers. But they did it with Cordarrelle Patterson last year. Like, if Cordarrelle Patterson was in the game – it was going to be a jet sweep. It was like 9 out of 10 times is a jet sweep. So right now, and same as last year, but like I said, they had blockers. Every single time Sony Michel's in the backfield, it's a pass. I mean, it's a run. Right? It's a run. So everybody's just geared up towards the run. So they do it this year, and everyone's like, all right, run at us. No fullback. Bad blockers. He's getting like 2 yards, maybe 3. If he's lucky. He's breaking maybe 1 a game for like 10 plus. And then you know, but it's still like everyone knows it's coming. So they're trying and trying and trying to give him like more screen passes and like throw it to him. So like everyone has to at least respect that Brady may pass it. But like Sony Michel can't run the right routes. I don't understand it. He'll get like one screen and he'll go for like 8 yards and then he'll completely fuck up a route. And it just like to the point where it makes no sense. The only reason you do it is to like make the defense respect that he might go out for a pass.
Exactly.
And it's literally a wasted play if you send him out in a route almost. You know what I mean? If you throw it to him. Because it's a wasted play because he's never in the right spot.
It's tough to watch because then you watch James White, who might be.
That's what I mean. You waste
the most underrated back in the league.
It's completely wasted because if you ran that play with James White, it's probably an 8-yard completion. Or he breaks a tackle and goes for 12.
He never gets tackled by the first guy.
Yeah, Sony Michel runs the wrong route, and Brady throws it where he's supposed to be, and Sony doesn't touch it. You know, that's like what happens. You know, he'll catch one out or two out of four passes a game, and then the other two he'll look ridiculously in the wrong spot.
What are your hopes for Harry for the rest of the year?
I mean, I thought he was good in this game. Do you see him bury the defensive end on a block? He's a man out there.
Yeah. I mean, he is big. I mean, these guys are freak athletes.
He's getting a lot picks. Of like the old Josh Gordon routes, like quick slants.
Yeah.
And he'll get the slants and he's going to get those bubble screens, which I hate a bubble screen, but he's apparently good at it for a big body. You know, like the stuff that made Demaryius Thomas famous, basically. Like just step back 1 yard, catch the bubble screen, follow your blocks, get 10 yards.
Bigger shake, yeah.
But he broke a slant. Wide open. Would have went for 50 yards, and Brady didn't see him, and he threw it away. I bet you Brady will see that on film and fucking hit him next time. It was so obvious. He beat the he was in single coverage, and he beat the cornerback dead to rights.
Ooh.
Ran, was right behind, no safety help. Had it was just him and fucking 60 yards of grass in front of him on a slant, and Brady didn't even see him. Threw it away.
Yeah.
So that's the problem with the amount of time Brady has with the line. You know what I mean? He doesn't have enough time to go through all his progressions. Because
even if you do have the time, you always feel like you don't have it.
Yeah.
So it really does hinder a lot of what
it kills you. But it's even to the point. The offense is struggling, but it's not like he's not working with a full deck here. You're talking about N'Keal Harry, who I don't know if it's N'Keal or N'Keal. You tell me. I don't know. So he's playing his first career snaps ever in the NFL in this game. Sanu's on his third game, and he hurts his ankle in the game.
Yeah, what's up with that? Is he all right?
I don't know. He didn't practice today. Worries me already. The most important ankle on the team. And then now you got Philip Dorsett comes in, gets a concussion.
I thought he had a bum hammy.
No, he got a concussion. Got knocked out in the fucking Philadelphia Eagles on the touchdown, which goes uncalled for some reason. And then you got Jacoby Myers running the wrong routes. Gunnar Olszewski, they put on IR and shouldn't even be on the team. And then the tight ends are all bums.
He's
got nothing.
Give me Izzo. Let Izzo come back.
He stinks. He was inactive this week.
Stop it.
He was inactive.
He's still hurt.
No. I mean, Watson at 37 is light years better than the other two tight ends put together.
Well, Watson's by far the best. Yeah, but it's LaCosse or whatever, that guy sucks.
He sucks. Fucking Izzo sucks. That literally needs to be priority one on draft day. A tight end that can do anything. Just give me anything.
Do one or the other. Yeah. Walk or run. I'll take
exactly. We don't have one that can do any of them.
No.
We just have bodies.
Watson catches balls that you're like, I feel like I could run that route.
Yeah, but like he'll come up with one great catch. And then, like, just the other times, just like, why is he out there? He's so slow.
Yeah, they have problems. The funny thing is, you have Brady, like, complaining after the game, and everyone, you know, he gets Brady's.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck do you expect him to do? Like, they look like shit. Yeah, they're winning. But, like.
That's the best part about Tom Brady is that he's a perfectionist. If he was happy with the way everything is going, you should be pissed. You should be happy he's pissed off after a win and not pissed off after being 1-9 yelling at you or, like, pleased. That he is 5-5, you know what I mean?
I watched Dwayne Haskins throw it was a highlight. They're like, Dwayne Haskins' first touchdown and the running back he threw it to was his first touchdown in the NFL. Like, both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins didn't even celebrate.
Really?
Like, yeah, this guy's a fucking, like, he's an emotionless idiot. This guy.
Yeah.
He's one of the worst picks of all time. This guy is fucking awful.
That was that's very Bledsoe. You know what I mean? Bledsoe was just like a fucking dictator back there, would throw the ball. You know, he'd throw long touchdowns. He'd throw a lot of touchdowns, but you'd never see him run down the field, fucking smash heads. I mean, one of the most famous clips ever, going out to the Super Bowl, first Super Bowl, 2001. They're going out to the Super Bowl. They're in the tunnel, and it's Tom Brady and it's fucking Drew Bledsoe. And Brady has Bledsoe by the fucking face mask, and he's smashing his head, and he's fucking slamming his own fingers in his helmet, screaming, "Didn't I tell you I'd get you here? Didn't I tell you I'd get you here?" And you get to see Drew like, "Come on, just like relax." Yeah.
I'm like, let's just play. We have a game.
Bledsoe just wants to go about business. Just wants to like go and think about wine and like what type of grapes make the best rosé. Like,
I couldn't agree with the guy more.
Yeah.
If someone came up to me before a game and headbutted me, I was like, "What? Why would you do this? Like,
I'm gonna get hurt. I'm injured.
My head's gonna hurt now. Yeah. I don't want to fucking."
That's the type of guy you want. Like a guy that's gonna run down the field and fucking tackle you.
Yeah.
That's what I'd love. That shit.
This is what you need.
Yeah, you do. And then you got fucking, you know, people with no emotion don't get anybody. They don't, I don't know, it doesn't garner, like nobody, you don't want to follow a guy that doesn't have any emotion. You know what I mean? He doesn't do anything for you.
Nothing.
He's just a, not a, not a leader.
That's why we threw Dom right off the podcast.
Yeah. This guy, he's not a leader of men. You know what I mean?
No. He's a sit in his office and lock the door guy.
He does shut the door at the office. The worst thing, worst habit, and I yelled at him for it the other day, as I am his boss.
Yeah, as you should.
Yeah. So, yes, the offense is going to struggle. But the only thing that's going to, there's nothing coming that's going to help it. Like,
I don't think it's that. I think it's just like, first of all, McDaniels isn't having a great year. I feel like I say that almost every year.
I don't know. Is he working with what he's got, honestly? Because he sometimes get into desperation mode a little too early where he'll go to the trick plays, I despise the trick play.
Really? I love them. I think they should run way more of them.
Here's what
because
I hear.
What's the difference? They're so, like, I bet the success rate is probably like 80%.
It is, but it's, you know what it screams to me? This is what I hear in Josh McDaniels' head. All day. But we're talking like, first quarter, he's running fucking throwback passes to Brady.
Which is what you want. Like, they're working.
To nobody. He overthrew Dorsett. Didn't complete it. And then, they throw the touchdown. Their wide receiver threw the only touchdown of the game. I mean,
which is
great.
But
is it impossible to get your real offense into the end zone? When's the last, I can't even remember the last time they scored a touchdown, the offense. How many weeks ago was it?
Baltimore.
Did they score one in Baltimore?
One bye week, yeah.
I don't remember. So, fucking Edelman dropped a ball in the end zone.
Edelman's had a lot of drops this year.
He's had big drops. He hasn't just had drops.
Yeah.
You know, like, Edelman's always good for maybe a drop a game because he gets the ball so much. But, like, he had dropped a touchdown. Remember he dropped that two-minute drill against the Jets? A bomb, like a 40-yard right in the breadbasket.
Yeah. He dropped a couple
first downs.
He's been doing this weird move where instead of catching it with his hands, he tries to like cradle every catch. It doesn't.
I don't know. I don't like him switching up his tactics this late in his career.
I mean, I'm not worried. We get the defenses clicking. The offense is the offense. Like
the only thing that's going to help is just going to be time, and practice. There's nowhere else to go. You know what I mean? The number one thing with this team, the reason they won the Super Bowl last year, was the offensive line and the blocking. If this team doesn't transform into a dominant passing team, they have to get the run game going.
Don't forget about the defense, though.
Yeah, the defense is good, but
great in the playoffs.
Is it 85 Bears defense? Is it 2000 Ravens defense that could drag anybody to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, but they can drag it.
The rules now don't allow it.
Yeah, but they'll. I mean, the offense. You still have Brady. All right, so you're not talking about Trent Dilfer as your fucking quarterback.
I agree.
You have Brady, and you have some fucking guys who can make some plays.
That's what I'm saying, but like even them, Jim McMahon and fucking Trent Dilfer, not good offenses. The Bears had a decent, good offense, Walter Payton and shit, but the Ravens had a terrible offense, but they played with different rules. You could just destroy receivers. You could literally shut down a team if you had physicality.
Yeah, I get that, but I don't think there's many good defenses out there. I think the pass can pick apart. Like, the Chiefs are just
terrible.
Abysmal. Houston's defense is abysmal. Like,
Baltimore's defense isn't very good.
They can beat these teams if they need to. Like, if they're not on their best night, they'll beat them.
It's fine, but, like, if they run into a team that's got a good defense, like Baltimore, if they've got a top 15 defense in a top 10 offense, they're going to struggle. You know what I mean?
On the road, not at home.
Yeah, I would say that too. But that could come into play in the Super Bowl. Although I don't, like, the Saints.
Well, the Super Bowl is always a coin flip.
Yeah.
So you get to the Super Bowl, it's like, all right, you got to the Super Bowl, and you might win, you might lose. Just get there.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried about, like, the big thing is winning the AFC, and I think they could beat any team at home easy.
They got to make it. They got to make it to home.
So that leads us to this week.
Yeah. Dallas, which is probably going to be, on paper, I guess, the best team they've played.
Baltimore, Dallas. Yeah, they're right there. They're the same team to me.
Dallas, very similar. Better offense.
I would say that Dak Prescott feels like one of those quarterbacks that he might have four picks this weekend.
Dak Prescott is he's like an MVP candidate, but he's ripe for the picking.
Yeah.
This Dallas team is going to, they think they have swagger, and then they're going to get the Foxborough aura. It comes to teams in a hurry.
You don't come to Foxborough often.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be like, it just feels like you
see those
shut
banners,
down their receivers so easily, and then you have to control Zeke. It's like, all right, shut down Cooper, shut down Randall Cobb,
Gallup.
Shut down Gallo, and they have the cornerbacks to do it.
Yeah.
And then you have Jason Witten and fucking Zeke. Like,
I could cover Jason Witten right now.
Oh, he's a bum. Then Zeke is your one problem. It's like,
they have a good offensive line. They have a really good offense, and they got a pretty good defense. It's going to be a dogfight. But again, they're going to get the Foxborough aura. It's just like, remember I told you when I'm going to call him San Diego because there'll always be San Diego to me. When San Diego came divisional last year and they didn't lose on the road all year, and they came and everyone was like, oh, the Chargers are going to beat them, and they fucking curb stomped them.
Yeah.
They embarrassed them. And I was like, yeah, because I'm telling you, it's the playoffs, it's cold. The fucking, you see the banners, there's fucking steam coming off the lights. Nobody wants to be there.
It's going to be raining, it's going to be cold, it's going to be shitty, and they're in doubt. Like, this is a weird game because, you're right, if this game was in Boston, if there was a Boston stadium, I can see Dallas walking in and maybe winning in Boston. They're going to win. Foxborough is just weird to go to.
Yeah, you're in the woods, and then all of a sudden this fucking gladiator stadium pops up out of nowhere. You don't even know what just
hit
you.
Where did teams stay? Do they stay down in
Foxborough? Nowhere. They stay like in Providence or something. Some teams stay in Providence and then drive up that way, I think. Most teams stay in Providence, I think.
Providence is the play?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, so a lot of teams did that. I remember the Houston Texans stayed in Waltham, and they stayed in Waltham, and then they took the bus, and they were like 2 hours late to the game. They were stuck in traffic. That was a couple years ago. Bill O'Brien, of all coaches, the guy who coached here for like 15 years and from the area, stayed at the fucking, like, on Route 1 to basically, I don't know, fucked his whole team. And they got beat by Jacoby Brissett. I think he got shut out, in fact, by Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, it might have been 28-0.
Yeah. So, Dallas is a good team. I mean, Dak could put up numbers, but I just think that it's not even the Patriots team so much as they're going to see Bill Belichick on one side, the hoodie, and then they're going to see fucking six banners hanging. And this coach, I don't care what you say,
I have a feeling
Jason, what the fuck's his dumb name? I can't even remember his name. Garrett.
Garrett. I feel
cannot out-coach Belichick in anything, not in chess.
I think he's going to be wearing earmuffs. Like the circle earmuffs. Like,
clapping with his red hair.
Exactly. No. The circle ones you wear. And he might have a scarf on.
Yeah, he'll be chilly. Is it supposed to be cold? Let's see what the weather is.
It's like 40 and rainy.
I love that. I love the rain.
The game starts at 4:25, so by the fourth quarter, it's going to be fucking 30 degrees and freezing.
Sunday, 43 and raining. Oh, it's money.
That's just Patriots.
That's Patriots football 101.
Yeah, Brady might throw for 300 in this game.
Yeah, this is Brady throws best in the rain, in the wind.
And I think you're honestly going to see like a... My prediction is 150 yards in like three picks and no touchdowns for fucking idiot face.
For Dak?
Dak.
I can see that.
That guy, he feels like he can throw, like, if you are just an easy defense, like, play regular, fucking blah, blah, like.
Dallas?
He can throw, he can do everything he needs to do, but when he starts making reads, I feel like this guy
They've
sucks.
Got a very high school feel to me. Like, you know, like,
basic.
It's not, like, a very basic, like, 90s NFL offense.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, drop back, five-step drop and pass, or run off tackle. It's not like, they're
and
not doing
works.
Like the Chiefs. They're not like, because they have the
Yeah, because they have the guys
they have
who
the
can
guys
make
who
it
do.
Work.
They have huge offensive linemen.
But once you start
good
stopping
backs,
that,
yeah.
I feel like they hit.
That's what I mean. They don't have like, I don't feel like they run a ton of crossing routes and like pick plays and shit like that. This is like not Dallas's game. They run like the route tree, and they don't combo routes.
No.
And then they run a fucking 12 dive. You know what I mean? That's probably their play call. Jason Garrett calls it in 22 fullback crush. And fucking...
Yeah.
And that's the play call.
Power right.
Yeah.
On two.
Wing T, power left, trips right. I swear to God, that's what I see when I see Dallas play. And, it works. And Dak can get hot. And Zeke can get hot. And, I'm not... Like, Gilmore's going to eliminate whoever he's going in. Amari Cooper's good. I would put Gilmore and Gallup, just take him right out of the game. Double team Cooper. Put Jones on Cobb. Cobb's a shell of himself.
Yeah, Jones feels a good matchup there. And J.C. Jackson is a good matchup for Cooper.
Yeah, he would bully him.
So, kind of, I mean, they really do. There's just, and then you have also, you have McCourty just sitting there. Like, yeah. Who else do you want to put in the field?
The one thing you don't want to do is get Hightower stuck on Elliott. That would be the only issue in a pass play.
Yeah, I mean, you have Collins, you have Van Noy. Like, you have the guys there. You have the people around. Is Chung going to get healthy? Or what's
he was practicing today, so we'll see. But I just, this is just one of those teams, like, I had the same feeling when they played, I'm going to keep going back to the Chargers, but, like, the Chargers were a good team last year, but I looked at their coach, as like, there's no way. This guy
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I feel
like I was like, the same thing I felt about the Rams. Like, even though everyone was blowing them, and the NFL always needs a new guy to, like, fucking pump up to, like, keep
I
the
fucking hate
ESPN, like, always needs a new guy to fucking pump up and blow, like they do with Mahomes. And Mahomes is great, and McVay is good, but like when they saw McVay, I just looked at him. I was like, "There's no way this guy is gonna."
No.
Belichick remembers every single play since he stepped on a football field in 1970 with the fucking Baltimore Colts. There's no way this guy is gonna trick him into anything. And
that's why I feel the same way about Garrett. Like Garrett's on, he doesn't do enough.
No.
Like you do. You like if you have the guy, you can win these games because they're not taking that many risks to make mistakes. But like,
and nobody's practiced. Like nobody's. I don't know. I just feel like nobody game plans hard enough for teams anymore. Like it's like the Patriots game plan for every team hard, hard, hard. Try to win and try to remember, figure out everything they're doing. Like a lot of teams just do what they do.
Yeah, and it's like yeah, you can see that it's almost like it's like this college
yeah.
type style of coaching is pumped into the NFL where like yeah, here's what we do and I don't know. It just yeah. seems like the Pats are just on a different type of level that
they still play NFL football with fucking. Pocket passer, strong defense, and fucking, you know what
How
I mean?
How funny is that? Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Holmes, fucking all these guys every year. It's like, all right, this is it. This is the new football.
Now it's happening.
Like, it's over. So, like, all Brees,
like McNabb
all these guys
and Mike
done.
Vick never happened. Randall
yeah, like
Cunningham.
RG3 and Kaepernick didn't fucking make a run 1 year. Like, it's just over and over these same type of guys that come in and feed.
Mahomes is different because Mahomes can throw. Really fucking well, but like he can't. He's gonna be really. He's really good. But again, if Andy Reid has cardiac arrest, like I feel like Mahomes won't be as good. You know, like Peyton
Deshaun
Manning,
Watson. Like Deshaun Watson's probably. I think he's almost. I would take Deshaun over Mahomes.
That's crazy. That's crazy talk. I think. Dude, I've seen Mahomes throw the ball. Yeah. He had a bad game last week, but Mahomes, like he's just better at being a quarterback than
he has these receivers though that are like. Perfect for his style, and Kelsey is a fucking monster. Like,
but it's all. Have you ever seen Kelsey make a contested catch, or is he always wide open?
Yeah, and he's fat. Yeah,
yeah.
It's kind of like the old Gronk days with McDaniels when well, Gronk was.
It's all
prime,
Andy
like,
Reid.
I'm telling you,
Andy Reid just knows how to get people open.
Yeah, he really
all
is
the
a
time.
Beast.
And that motherfucker is 70 and 700 pounds. He's gonna have to fucking quit at some point.
And he's in Kansas City. Like he's yeah. eating that barbecue.
Yeah, he definitely is fucking knee deep and fucking. Yeah. And burnt ends and fucking ribs. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to, like, you can't be like Peyton Manning and go to John Fox and win 14 games.
No.
You know what I mean? He's not going to be like that.
So what do you think? Because the Pats are -6.5 this week. That's kind of high.
It is kind of high, but again, it's the Foxborough fucking aura. I'm telling you. Aura, whatever. I get Pats in this game. I think they'll win by 12 in this game. I think they're going to win, and I think they'll shut down their offense, too. I bet you it's going to be low scoring again. I think the Patriots, they're going to struggle because Cowboys have a good second. They have good defensive line, and they have good linebackers. The Eagles didn't have good linebackers, didn't have a good secondary. They have a good defensive line. So this team's got two good units, a decent secondary. They won't be able to throw as well in the rain. I just think it's going to be low scoring. Give me...
24-12. All right, I'm in the similar ballpark. I'm thinking I have Pats 25. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think they're going to score, so I think it's going to be 25-17.
You think they can give up 17 points at home?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I think that the Patriots are going to shut down Dak. I think they'll shut down Elliott.
I think Zeke is going to be a problem.
He'll be a problem, but not at home. I think that the fucking linebackers can come ready to play. Danny Shelton's impressed the shit out of me.
Danny
this
Shelton's
year.
Good.
He's throwing people around.
Yeah, Lawrence Guy's good. Like
Lawrence
guy's good, but
literally Lawrence Guy could be a fucking all pro defensive tackle.
But they can get a they can
and they're paying him dick, by the way.
Yeah.
He is probably he's the best D lineman they have by far. And I think that he warrants an extension and a big pay bump, and I don't even think he can get it here because I think that he can get so much money on the like he's just nondescript guy, but he dominates every game.
Any worry about Bennett?
No, I was gonna bring that up, and I'm excited about it. I hope that somebody fucking knocks his block off.
Yeah, I mean it's gonna be him and Wynn probably a little bit, right?
Who?
Bennett on Wynn.
On Wynn? What are you talking about?
Like Wynn's gonna be blocking Bennett.
Oh, Isaiah Wynn. Sorry, I'm thinking of. I was thinking of, when you said Wynn, I thought Wise for a second in my head. No, does he rush off that side? I think he rushes off the other side. I think he's gonna be on Cannon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Should be a good week though.
Yeah, I saw him playing. I was watching their game last week, and he was like in the backfield a lot. So, yeah, he's good. But I mean, I guarantee you the offensive line's ready for it.
Yeah, not only are they ready for it, Belichick is loving this.
Yeah, he can't wait. They're probably gonna fucking trap him. Constantly just knock him on his ass. Anyway, we already gave our predictions.
Boys are going to be there. I'm going.
Boys are going to be there. We're going to be going hard in the lots. You see the Malcolm Gold flag flying. Come and say hello like you guys always do. Anyway, find us on Twitter, at Brady Disciple, at Malcolm Gold Pod, at Maybe It's Tyler. And, of course, subscribe, rate, tell your squad. Go Sachems. Go Pats. Let's go.
Do your job. All right, don't try to make too much out of it. Just do your job. 7-8 months ago, right? All for this moment. It's about honor. It's about respect. We win this game. Your honor. Your kids are honored. Your family's honored.
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted. Intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler.
Stepping. Warner goes back to throw, and here's the blitz by Mike Vrabel. The back. Snap ball down, kick up, kick is on the way, and it is good!
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal, and the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The best team
in the league! Hey! Did it!
I love you, man.
Did it, bro. I love you. I love you. You worked your ass off.
You're the greatest quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.